From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Norris.
And I'm Melissa Block. In Iraq, police today announced the killings of three more prominent Muslim clerics. One is from the Shiite majority, and two are from the Sunni minority. The assassinations, combined with the recent discoveries of makeshift graves containing dozens of civilians, are raising fears that a cycle of sectarian revenge killings could be underway. NPR's Peter Kenyon reports.
In the holy city of Najaf, the world's largest Shiite cemetery is getting bigger by the hour. On Najaf's farewell road, which runs between the city's holy shrines and the sprawling cemetery, wooden coffins are passing every 10 seconds. Shop owners here say some of these families are mourning victims of the brutal execution-style slayings carried out, they believe, by former members of the Saddam Hussein regime. 35-year-old store owner Samir Karim watches the funeral processions quietly. He says after generations of being dominated by the Sunnis, Iraq's Shiites are enduring this latest wave of killings patiently, for now. But he has no doubt that at the slightest sign from their religious leader, the Grand Ayatollah Ali al-Sistani, Shiites would rise up against the Sunnis.
Sistani has a big role in this. If it wasn't for him, people would have killed each other in the streets.
In a crowded group house in Najaf filled with Shiite refugees, 45-year-old Abu Bakr lives with his family of nine in a few rooms. They fled South Baghdad's dangerous Dora district when the attacks on Shiites there grew unbearable.
First, they start threatening people. You wake up in the morning and find a dead body in the street. They are getting more explicit in their atrocities day by day, with no punishment from the government. Everyone's patience has a limit. The retaliation is unpredictable.
Abu Bakr cuts the interview short. His cousins are tugging at his sleeve. They have to evacuate the family farm in Yusufiya in the grimly named Triangle of Death south of Baghdad. Masked gunmen gave the family 48 hours to flee or be killed. Prime Minister Ibrahim al-Jafri met with Sistani yesterday in an effort to maintain momentum for a political solution to the unrest. But the mass graves and assassination of clerics have increased fears that the situation may not be manageable for much longer. Some Sunnis say the Shiite retaliation has already begun, in the form of Shiite-controlled units of the Iraqi security forces. Sunnis suspect them of carrying out some of the execution-style killings. The execution story saw a new twist yesterday when two of the Sunni men dumped into one makeshift grave were found still alive. They were taken to the medical city complex in Baghdad. On the 11th floor, in the neurosurgery ward, family members of patients were huddled in the hallway, blocked from entering by a wall of Iraqi National Guardsmen. Most reporters were also kept out. In two rooms near the far end of the ward, two badly wounded men were guarded by several more National Guardsmen. 28-year-old Louay Sadiq lay quietly with his head bandaged, but the other man, Tamer Fiad, was restless, pulling at the tubes running into his arm. His wife gently pushed his hands away. In a brief, hushed conversation before the guards interrupted, she said armed men wearing Iraqi military uniforms burst into their house in the Al-Shab neighborhood at 4:30 in the morning and took her husband away. She said she has no idea why. Iraqi Defense Minister Sadun Dulaimi had a different version of events. He said obviously insurgents had impersonated Iraqi forces in an effort to inflame sectarian tensions.
That is the problem. They were killed by people with military clothes, and they told them that they were from the National Guards or from the Special Forces. The terrorists come to deceive the victims, that it is the Iraqi security who is to blame. They left two alive so they could tell their story, but it's not true at all.
Prime Minister Jafri's spokesman Laith Kuba reinforced that theme today, portraying the Prime Minister and Sistani as united in a message of peace.
It is not the Sunnis who are committing these crimes. We know it's a very small group that specifically wants to provoke that sectarian strife. And that's the reason Ayatollah Sistani calls upon Shias and Sunnis to stick together and go after the real network.
Some Sunni leaders aren't persuaded. One Sunni political bloc, the Iraqi Islamic Party, issued a statement blaming Iraqi security forces for recent killings in Baghdad's Al-Shab neighborhood and warning that unless the government can prove its neutrality, Iraq's political process will be plunged into a dangerous crisis and could collapse. To date, Iraqi authorities have offered no clear leads as to who is behind the killings, and that void is being filled with fresh rumors, more fuel for Iraq's sectarian suspicions. Peter Kenyon, NPR News, Baghdad.